I'd never done a crazy thing in my life before that night. Why is it, if a man kills another man in battle, it's called heroic? Yet if he kills a man in the heat of passion, it's called murder.
Hello! What do you think you're doing? Only me and Garth get to talk to the camera. Come on.
You underestimate the power of the dark side. If you will not fight, then you will meet your destiny.
HTF Radio presents The DVD Marquee with your hosts, Jeffrey Rosato and Shane McDonald. Brought to you by iCraveDVD.com and TheHomeTheaterForum.com.
Hey, Jeffrey, we're back. We're better than ever. We've got some configuration issues solved. Our timing together finally. It's been a month, but here we are. It's going to be a great show.
And your name is, sir?
Jackass.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 7 of the DVD Marquee. My name is Jeffrey Rosato. Of course, you know Mr. J himself on the other end, Shane McDonald. And we've got 6 great movies for you this week. Aeon Flux, Match Point, The Poseidon Adventure, The Ringer, The Family Stone, and The Towering Inferno. Stay with us, won't you?
Some call Bregna the perfect society. Some call it the height of human civilization. But others know better. The good childs built Bregna to ensure us a future. They built the Relicle, a memorial to remind us of what we've survived. They built walls to protect us. They tell us that outside, nature has retaken the world. But the real problems lie within. We are haunted by sorrows we cannot name. People disappear. And our government denies these crimes. The good child regime provides for us as long as we stay quiet. So we trade freedom for a gilded cage. But there are rebels who refuse to make that trade, who fight to overthrow a government that silences us, who fight in the name of the disappeared. They call themselves the Monikans.
Okay, Shane, my friend, let's get right into it. Our first movie tonight is Aeon Flux, the futuristic tale based on MTV's animated series of the same name. I really want to hear your thoughts about this because I am just so curious to see if we're going to have a major disagreement here, so take it away.
Fantastic movie. Okay, that's a complete lie. It was all right. It wasn't as good as the animated series that was created by Peter Chung. But all in all, it wasn't bad. Like, I don't feel guilty having watched it, wasting, you know, however many minutes of my life watching it. It was decent. It just, there's too much that happened in the animated series to wrap it up in a 90-minute film.
True, but I gotta tell you, don't know if it's because I'm getting older or because I've been disenchanted with this kind of style of film, but I gotta say, I hated this movie. I hated every over CGI splattered, edit crazy, horribly acted moment. All flash, no soul, popcorn junk. I mean,
well, the one thing we gotta give credit for is Charlize Theron and some of the tight outfits she wore.
You know, even that wasn't enough to kind of just like, you know, my God, I just wasted 94 minutes or maybe 88 minutes of my entire life. And, you know, I don't know if you have this thought while watching or these thoughts while watching this movie, but a flurry of other films came into my mind. It's like, oh, there's the Mission Impossible shot. Oh, they did that better in The Matrix. Fifth Element moment. I guess I was a little hard on the Fifth Element. You know, I mean, just 10,000 movies, you know, and it's like they just scroll, you know, they just crammed them into a computer and voila, you know, this movie with Charlize Theron came out. And I'm still recovering, Shane, from the shock of seeing not one, but 2 Best Actress winners in this movie. Not just the lovely Charlize Theron, but Frances McDormand my hero from Fargo, looking like she's auditioning for Lord of the Rings or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest movie. But, like I said, it wasn't that bad. I don't feel like I wasted my 90 minutes of my life. But then again, I also had a chance to see the animated series, so I was connecting the two together a little bit more. You could see where they kind of strayed off point and where they brought things back. I think if you saw the animated series, you could appreciate the movie just maybe a little bit more instead of, you know, ripping it a new one.
The same thing could be said for, say, Clerks, and then you have the animated series, which, you know, both of, you know, I can kind of see where you're going with this, but just, it just didn't work for me at all. But I will tell you, there is one brilliant moment, and that's the trailer for Heart of Gold, the Neil Young concert movie, a little plug for Neil and Paramount there, and a fellow Canadian of yours.
That's right.
I will tell you that people who did love the movie will probably enjoy this jam-packed single disc. I didn't think it would have so many features, but if you want to, go ahead and tell the folks about the special features on this disc if they haven't yet rented or bought it as of now.
Well, there's two commentaries on here. The first one's with Charlize Theron and producer Gail Ann Hurd, and I think I fell asleep listening to it because it was just so dull. They try to come off as sounding so intelligent, but it was just so boring. And then you've got the other one with the co-screenwriters.
Yeah.
Much better commentary, but it still just didn't work.
I mean, I have never heard two more enthusiastic people. Oh, this is Gail Ann Hurd, and I'm Charlize Theron. You know, it's like, you know, it was like that band from Canada that was really big back in the 80s that did Sweet Jane, the Cowboy Junkies. It was like listening to a Cowboys Junkies album. And that's no diss on the Cowboy Junkies, by the way. But can't you guys pretend to be a little bit more excited? I know the movie didn't make $100 million and all that, and it was delayed for nearly a year, but just, my God, you know. But as far as the second commentary, a little bit better, a little bit more vibrant, but still, you know, I really can't say that I learned anything or gained any significant insight into an experience that has already scarred me for life. Also, but I will say it is not as bad as Catwoman. So that's kind of a, you know, hey, semi-thumbs down, not too bad, but just I thought it was just absolutely horrible.
Now, what did you think of the 5 eye-popping featurettes, which aren't really all that eye-popping?
Well, I will say that they're typical making-of mumbo-jumbo, you know, fascinating. It's interesting to see how much work they put into this. It looks like a lot of work was put into the making of this movie, but the end result, oh, man. I mean, can we move on?
I want to mention one of the featurettes that I've actually never seen on DVD before.
Okay.
Perhaps you have, but it's the Craft of the Set, the Photographer of Eon Flux, and it's basically the photographer who takes the pictures for the posters and the advertising and all that stuff on set.
You know, you found it fascinating. I found it kind of, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, there are certain discs that, you know, you get a midway recommendation from you, but a complete thumbs down from me. And just like I said, you know, I don't want to be a party pooper here, but just, I got to tell you, Aeon Flux, flop.
Rental.
Flop.
Rental.
I'm sounding like Bush. Anyway, okay, Shane, let's move on to what I feel is a much better movie, and that's the latest from legendary comic director Woody Allen, Match Point, the story of an unambitious Irish tennis pro looking for a steady gig as a resident tennis instructor, and he falls in love with a local girl, and everything seems hunky-dory, but then he meets the vivacious, incredible Nola Rice, played by the marvelous Scarlett Johansson.
So, who's my next victim? You?
I haven't played table tennis in quite a while.
Would you like to play for £1,000 a game?
What did I walk into?
What did I walk into?
It's like this. May I?
Please.
You have to lean in and hit through the ball.
I was doing just fine until you showed up.
Ah, story of my life. So tell me, what's a beautiful young American ping pong player doing mingling amongst the British upper class?
Did anyone ever tell you you play a very aggressive game?
Did anyone ever tell you you have very sensual lips?
Extremely aggressive.
I'm naturally competitive.
This movie bored me. Bore. I didn't find it funny. I didn't find it entertaining.
You're kidding.
The only thing that saved this movie from being a total write-off for me was the last 30 minutes.
You know, this is, have we waged World War III here? I have to admit that this movie was probably one of Woody Allen's best films. And I haven't been a regular Woody watcher for the last, boy, that sounds really pornographic, doesn't it? But I have not been a Woody watcher on a regular basis for a long time. You know, I haven't seen a lot of Woody's recent work. Matter of fact, I think the last Woody Allen movie that I can recall is Radio Days. But compared to some of his earlier work, Annie Hall, Interiors, a lot of people, you know, that are just now discovering Woody Allen will probably know him mainly for his more dramatic pieces like this film and others in recent years. But he gained fame as, you know, a comedy guy, you know, did movies like Bananas, Sleeper, Annie Hall, which I'm sure a lot of our audience has heard. But this film is kind of like a mixture of both the darkly comic and the thriller, kind of like a Hitchcock movie. And I found it terrific. It's a little slow in the midway point, but I thought it was just superb. Well acted. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is not for every taste. You know, I've heard a lot of people either hate him in this movie or love him. The same way with a film, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. But I just loved the idea of this really, you know, cocky, self-assured former tennis pro, you know, trying to make a go of it in the real world. And, you know, he winds up meeting a girl with a rich family. You know, the family wants to get him involved in work and all that. And then he meets this woman that's just, you know, as restless as he is. She's a struggling actress, and she seems to have it all together. And then, you know, by the middle of the movie, they're both, you know, getting on each other's nerves. And it's just like, you know, they're driving each other crazy. And I don't want to give anything away, but there's a part, there's a, you know, every movie like this has to have the shocking plot twist. And not to give anything away, but the way that Jonathan Rhys-Meyers' character reacts in what he has to do just literally killed me. I mean, he didn't know what to do. He couldn't get it, you know, right. He just barely did what he had to do. And I just love the fact that, you know, we had this character study of, you know, these two people, you know, who were obviously meant to be together, you know, more than, say, the woman that he eventually winds up with and marrying. But, you know, it was just, I found it a really good thriller and a dark comedy at the same time. So nothing worked for you except for the ending.
That's right. The ending where the twist came in, that was the only thing that saved this movie from getting a complete negative review from me. Although the acting, I must admit, was great.
Yeah, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, whom a lot of people remember from the Elvis miniseries, I think he's going to be a future superstar. He's getting a lot of great notices for Mission Impossible 3. You've got the lovely Emily Mortimer, who plays his eventual bride. And what can you say about Scarlett Johansson? I mean, Scarlett Johansson is just incredible.
I love her leading ladies. That sounds a little perverted, doesn't it? That's what she calls them, though.
Okay, are we going to be censored?
We might have to make this one explicit.
Yeah, I may have to make it NC-17, but you know, as a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw the pre-Golden Globe special where the host, one of the hosts on the red carpet actually touched her leading ladies. I mean, just, let's not get into that, but...
Yes, I did.
I'm still shaking my head about that 3 months later, but anyway, you know, just the nerve of the guy, but okay, I'm going to stop. Scarlett Johansson just has this charisma, and she reminded me a lot of these femme fatales in these old movies back in the 40s and 50s. And I just think she's got a terrific career ahead of her if she stops acting in Michael Bay movies.
Oh, had to get the little stab in there at the island, didn't ya?
Yeah. Sorry about that. Michael Bay, you've got a good movie in you. It's just got to come out. Realize the genius in you. No more Armageddons. Okay, enough about that.
Now, there's no extras, so there's no point in talking about anything like that. It's just the movie. Just the movie with decent audio video. So if you're a Woody fan, pick it up. That's what I recommend. Woody, not for me.
Every Woody Allen movie, it's weird in a way. It's strange, but I love it. Every movie, I guarantee you, Shane, if you go back and look at Hannah and Her Sisters, Manhattan Murder Mysteries, all of them. And by the way, I recommend that all of you out there, especially you young folks like Mr. Shane here, go back and check out Woody's back catalog, Annie Hall, Interiors, Bananas, stuff like that. Just brilliant filmmaking, but he's also a very fine dramatic director, which I think this film indicates. And like I said, you know, it's been split down the middle as far as the opinions on this film, but I admire that Woody has just not changed his presentation in all these years. I mean, it's basically, you know, it has the same font styles on the opening credits. You get like a black background and all, you know, the actors and stuff, you know, music, and then the movie, and then the same fashion. You get those same fonts. I mean, it's just, you know, and working in mono, who does a mono soundtrack in these days of Dolby Digital 5.1 and DTS and all that? You know, I have to say I admire him for that. You know, he's always been his own man, and I think it's a great film. Check it out. Match point. Big thumbs up from me.
You could have made that a mini marquee. Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was terrific.
We lost Akers.
In a shaft. He fell.
Well, where the hell were you? What's that supposed to mean? I told you to keep everybody rounded up!
Well, Mr. Robo did the best he could
to try to get... You don't have to defend me. Now, look, Preacher, I've had just about enough out of you. Who do you think you are, God himself? He was hurt. He needed your protection.
All right, so he was hurt. The boat tilted and he fell. The shaft blew up and he's dead. And that's it. Or do you want to make something more out of it?
I told you I was going to get everybody out of here, and goddammit, I'm going to do it.
Mr. Scott, all those other people, where were they going?
They're going toward the bow. But they're wrong. The bow's underwater.
How do you know? Have you seen it? What makes you so damn sure about everything? If all those people think they're right by going up there, maybe we should go with them, and not you.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. 20 people decide to drown themselves, so that makes it all right. That's typical. Everything by the...
Bank! Stop it, Mike! He's been
Wait a minute.
This past weekend saw a remake of another classic film hit theaters, and that was Poseidon. The original movie, 1972, The Poseidon Adventure, stars some great talent, really good disaster flick. It's actually the first time I've seen this movie.
And Shane, I know that, you know, there's a difference in our age groups. I think, you know, people who don't even know us or have seen us before, either in person or have listened to our podcast, realizes that there's somewhat of a generation gap. But I gotta ask you, what did you think of this?
Jeffrey could be my daddy.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. But let's... I'm curious to know what you thought about this.
Teenage daddy.
Teenage daddy, yeah. Coming soon from Fox. I'm just anxious to know what you thought of this old school cast. Gene Hackman, Stella Stevens, Ernest Borgnine, Red Buttons, you know, just a wonderful cast. Shelley Winters. Gotta mention Shelley Winters. What'd you think?
Roddy McDowell, don't forget him, too.
Right, exactly.
All told, the acting was pretty good. A couple of them were over the top, though. They they really put a lot of extra emotion into their characters, I guess you could say.
True, but, you know, it was a different era. It was a different era, and I'm anxious to see... Well, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about seeing the remake. I think I'm going to wait for it to come out on DVD, but... You know, based on what I've seen as far as the clips from the new film as opposed to, you know, 1972 that we're discussing here, don't you think the effects are so much more exciting and so much more believable than the CGI modern technology that you saw in Poseidon?
Well, that's a tough one to answer without having seen the full film, because some of the stuff on the Poseidon Adventure did look a little hokey, but again, you got to think back to the era. This is before, you know, Star Wars revolutionized the way special effects are done.
But if you go back and look at this film and also the many makings of, by the way, it's a brilliantly done special edition. We have to point that out here for the folks that may be curious as to checking it out.
Yeah, buy it. Making the recommendation now. Buy it.
There's a moment in this film, and I think you know what I'm about to bring up here, when the ship overturns and you have that iconic shot of the man falling from the table through the ceiling of the ship, and then that cutaway of all the lights going out. I think that is just about as effective and just as moving, exciting, thrill-inducing as anything in Titanic.
Well, I'll agree with you there. They even got a feature specifically on that scene, and it's called Falling Up with Ernie in the nine new featurettes put on this DVD.
Right. And do you know that that guy has over 100 credits at IMDb? He just literally found a different career after that movie. And he was just hired mainly as an actor. And then all of a sudden, Irwin Allen, you there, I want you to go ahead and fall through the ship like that. And just, it's amazing. I mean, instant career change.
Yeah, it can be for some people. Look at Harrison Ford. He was doing set construction on Star Wars, Han Solo. Boof.
Exactly.
Instant career.
Now, we were talking about hokey a minute ago. Shane, I know your generation grew up with the Naked Gun movies. You probably discovered Police Squad on videotape or DVD. I have to say that history has ruined Leslie Nielsen's performance for me in this movie.
Well, that's one of the things that was actually brought up in the commentary was a lot of people were expecting Leslie Nielsen to be funny as the ship's captain, and it's a serious role for him, and I actually enjoyed him in that role. You know, I expected a little comedy from him, but there was none, and it still worked out. It was really well done.
Exactly, but tell me, you know, I just know that when that first scene of the movie, when the storm, the ship is passing through, you know, forces it to pivot, and then the cutaway shot of him and the crew hanging on for dear life. I mean, you know, I'm gone. I was just dying.
Not me.
And I can remember when Leslie Nielsen was a very serious actor. I mean, he was a very much in demand character actor. He was in a lot of the drama shows of the time back in the 1970s, and then all of a sudden, you know, this little movie called Airplane came out, and it was like career change number three. You know, he becomes, you know, Mr. Instant Hilarity.
That's sometimes how she goes, I guess. And four Naked Guns later.
Let's get into the extras of this two-disc set, Shane. Just marvelously done. You got the film on disc one, two commentaries. And by the way, the film looks better than ever. I was one of the people that purchased the original, and it was just absolute grain the whole way through. The improvement on this re-release is like putting on a new pair of glasses. I mean, it just looks absolutely beautiful. The color, the texture, it looks marvelous. I can't say enough good things about it.
Still a little grain, though, but probably not as much as what was on the original release. I never got a chance to see it, but I did notice some grain. But I guess you can't get it all with a print that old.
Yeah, you're right. But if you go back and look at the backstory extra, the documentary on the Poseidon Adventure, you will see clips from the original. Matter of fact, I think it was the TV version that they had to crop for, you know, modern-day television sets. And you see all that grain. And just if you compare that to what you have on disc one, I mean, the difference is just like night and day.
Yeah, that's one I didn't have time to watch all the way through, unfortunately, with a couple of the other DVDs you'll see coming up that were jam-packed with extras, and it's something I am going to definitely revisit is the AMC backstory.
That's a terrific feature, and I don't even know if the AMC that produced these specials back around the start of the decade is still around anymore, because these were just so well done. I've noticed that a lot of Fox DVDs of this particular caliber, special editions and such, have included backstory, and I think it would be an absolute shame if they're not producing new episodes anymore. So maybe somebody out there listening can, you know, let me know, this former AMC watcher who quit watching after they added commercials to their programming, Ken, let us know if they're still even doing that story.
The other set of features I like, too, is the vintage promotional material. You know, they have a 1972 making of for the film, a 10-minute documentary, and, of course, all the original trailers and teasers.
You know, film advertising has just changed so much through the years, and back then, it was an art. You were really, you know, excited to see a film like The Poseidon Adventure in 1972, as opposed to now when you're just inundated with the same kind of trailers over and over and over again that give away the story. Back then, they gave you a little bit, but not the whole entree. So just, you know, I love those. And all the posters and promotional photos and stuff like that, just, you know, very well done, very well done.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that this is a set that anybody who saw the film or might be thinking of checking out the film, don't rent it, buy it. You're going to welcome it with open arms to your DVD collection. Some of you might even sleep with it beside your bed.
Shane, I asked you not to tell people that. Now I'm sounding like Don Adams in Get Smart. I asked you not to say that. Anyway, but quickly, before we move on to our... And by the way, it's halftime of the show coming up, but we definitely have to give a plug for the two great commentary tracks. You've got the Ronald Neame commentary, the director of the film, who fortunately is still with us and still has a lot of great recall for details. And he just sounds like such a nice guy.
Yeah, it was a great, great commentary. A little slow at times, some big gaps and silence, but besides that, this is one that if you want to know a little bit more about the movie, just a little bit more, you're going to get everything that you've been looking for.
Exactly. And I wish that I had been around at the recording session for, you know, when he put all this down. And the opening credits are coming up, and it's like, you know, he's trying to mention everybody name by name in the credits, and they're passing too quickly for him. And I'm going, dude, you've got nearly 2 hours here. It's okay.
Yeah. He's like, I feel bad I can't mention everybody, but what can you do, right? That's why I liked, there was one DVD I reviewed a while back, Waiting. They actually would pause the movie so they could finish what they were going to say, and then would hit play again. That was a good commentary, because then they could get in all the info they wanted.
Yeah, it was too bad that they didn't introduce him to that technology during the recording of this track. But the other commentary on the disc featuring Pamela Sue, I almost said Pamela Sue Anderson, Pamela Sue Martin, Stella Stevens, and Carol Lindley. Boy, it sounds like they had a whale of a time reminiscing and talking about their experiences.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting commentary to listen to, just to hear them talk about some of the anecdotes that went on in the back, you know, and on the set of the movie. So it was just, it was fun to listen to.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And just, you know, these are three classic actresses from the 70s. Late 60s and so on. And it was just great to have them all kind of just like, you know, ribbing certain parts of it. You know, they were kind of making fun of their characters and, you know, oh, look at the hairstyle. Oh, look at the shorts and the hair. And so it's just, I really enjoyed it. It's one of the more enjoyable actor commentaries I've heard in quite a while.
Agreed.
Yes, I do sleep with it beside my bedside. Or actually, it's on my nightstand as of recent days. But I am thankful that it's gotten the DVD treatment that it so richly deserves, and it's not a rental. Go out and buy it. Matter of fact, skip the new movie, or Warner Brothers is going to love me, and get this instead. Poseidon Adventure, thumbs up from Jeffy here.
Well, folks, we'll give you a little break from our insane review tactics here on the DVD Marquee, and we're going to talk about a couple of things. First and foremost, we're a little late getting this announcement out, but we have our King Kong giveaway winner. And it's Stephanie from Thunder Bay, Ontario. She is the grand prize winner of a DVD, a hat, and a t-shirt, all courtesy of Universal Studios.
Congratulations, Stephanie. Give us all the details of who you are and all that good stuff, and we'll get that package out to you just as soon as we can. Feels good giving away our first contest package, and it's not going to be the last one, folks. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Now, we've got some kind people who have donated to us through our PayPal link on the site. Greatly appreciate it. So I want to give a shout out to Steve in Sudbury, John in St. Catharines. There's a couple more. Jeffrey, you go ahead.
Okay. On my end of the woods, we'd like to thank Catherine in Toledo, Ohio. We have Benjamin in Mobile, Alabama. We have Scott in Nova Scotia. We have Lisa in Torrance, California. Christopher in St. Louis, Missouri. And let's see, I think I've got one more here if I can just scroll up here with a keyboard. Peter in Memphis, Tennessee. All these folks donating through PayPal because, you know, we do have bandwidth. We do have websites. It costs money to put this show on. It's not a freebie. And we said, while we're definitely supported by the nice folks at Home Theater Forum and Shane's site, iCraveDVD.com, every little bit helps. So if you can, give us a PayPal donation. We'll mention your name on the air, and we'll salute you, just like Hee-Haw.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Okay, right now, Shane, speaking of these listeners that have donated through various parts of your country and mine, we have a feature that you just recently installed. This guy, I want to tell you, Shane McDonald, hardest working podcast guy in the business. He's not only got Podcast Dally, which we're going to mention in a minute, PayPal, but also Flapper, which is an interesting feature that some of you may know something about and some of you don't. So, Shane, why don't you give us a quick little primer on what Flapper is and how it works?
Flapper is a mapping system that lets us know where you are. We'd like to know where our listeners are. So if you can, head to our site, dm.icravedvd.com, click on the Who's Listening link on the right-hand side, and put in your name and your city. We'd like to know where you are.
It's a great little feature, and I first saw it utilized on another one of our fellow movie podcasts, which I want to give a shout-out to, Cinecast with Sam and Adam, which, by the way, is changing names. It's going to be known as Film Spotting, so be on the lookout for that. But you can put not only your name or your Nick or whatever I guess you call it, you can also put a photo in there, and we definitely want to know where we're reaching you on all corners of the globe. So if you haven't yet done the Flapper thing for the podcast, please do, because we want to know where you are. So definitely get on the Flapper website via our link and let us know where you are, folks. And Shane, I think we got one more piece of business to do before we get back into DVD analyzing here, and that's Podcast Alley.
Vote for us. We've made it easier for you to vote now.
Exactly. But can we give a round of applause? Okay, this is the part we're gonna dub in applause. Or if we can't do it, I'll do it here. Podcast Alley, Shane has made it so doggone easy. All you got to do is just enter in your email address. Am I correct, Shane?
That's right. Right on the site. Our site.
And you will get an email that you'll have to reply back to, and you're done.
That's it. Simple. Finished. Boost our numbers. Boost our numbers.
Right. Not 10,000. You won't get like 10,000 pieces of junk mail for how to invest $10 million and get $5 in cash. You won't be on any kind of spam list, we promise. So just go ahead and let us know where you are, not only via Flapper, but Podcast Alley as well. Okay. Right now, it's time to go back to the movies.
This is wrong.
Oh, calm down.
This is so wrong.
Will you calm down?
Look, I can't do this.
You have to, come on.
No, don't make me do this.
Look, come on.
No, no.
Oh. Are you all right? You didn't hurt yourself, did you?
No.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Sure? Can you hand up? You need a handout.
No. Hey. Hurt. Oh. Hey, no.
You're going to take just a minute? You're fine.
Oh.
Oh, you got some schmutz on you. I'm Lynn. What's your name? Hey. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
His name's Jeffy. He's just a little shy. I mean, you know how they are. God bless them.
Cat got my tongue. Cat got my tongue!
Yeah, it's a really stupid expression. It sounds like a bad Dr. Seuss title. Are you his guardian?
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, but you know, someone's got to feed him, change his underwear, show him how to play with his puppets.
Yeah. Do you have his medical release forms?
Huh?
Well, we require medical release forms for all the athletes.
Papers at home.
Oh, yeah. I got all that stuff. It's at home.
Oh.
Sorry. I swear, sometimes I think I'm the one who should be wearing the helmet to bed. please, please, don't let the little guy suffer because of my mistake. I mean, look at him. Look at him. He's got his heart set on competing. Don't you, Jeffy?
Go for gold! Go for gold!
All right, I'll let it slide for now.
Johnny Knoxville is the ringer.
And I gotta tell you, Shane, out of all the movies that we have reviewed on this show, this one was the biggest surprise for me. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Uh-oh, another disagreement. I thought it was just all right.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, I mean, the thing is, you're taking a really potentially, you know, dangerous subject here in a comedy film, and I'll go ahead and give a quick synopsis here, I promise. Johnny Knoxville plays Steve Barker, this ambitious telemarketer who wants to move up within his company at the expense of Stivey, the janitor who has five kids to support. And after promising, I think he promised him health benefits and increase in pay via the apartment complex that he manages by cutting grass, the guy promptly gets a bunch of his fingers chopped off first day on the job. So he goes crying to his uncle. Johnny Knoxville's character goes crying to his uncle, who's in a mess of his own. But he's got just a plan to make everything better, and that's fixing the Special Olympics. The special, I'm laughing so hard I can't even get it out. The fixing the Special Olympics. What sensitivity, Shane?
Well, it is a very touchy subject. I will agree with you there. But I just didn't find it as funny as I thought it was going to be, I think. I think I gave it too much expectations going in and just didn't let it satisfy me, which is unfortunate because I do like Johnny Knoxville. I think he's heading in the right direction with his career.
I think so, too. And I'll tell you, my first introduction to Johnny Knoxville was not ideal. Hated Jackass, thought it was the stupidest show ever conceived, hated that people would even waste their time in watching it. And I got to tell you a quick story. My background is in media, and one day at this local television station, we saw a video coming through of a kid trying to jump over a speeding car. And, you know, I'm not going to stretch it out. He didn't make it. And off camera, you know, this guy, you know, He's out in the street. There's no telling if he's dead or alive. And all the guy behind the camera can say is, "Huh, your legs broke, dude."
See what television does? Makes you do stupid things.
And it's like, you know, it's insane. But then I saw him on David Letterman. He seemed like a nice guy. And then he's, you know, he's been in movies. He did like the Walking Tall remake. Am I correct?
Correct.
Dukes of Hazzard and so on. And, you know, he's really not a bad actor, you know, and
Men in Black 2.
Exactly. But I gotta tell you, I did find it a very, very funny film. A lot of people in the film that play supporting parts are mentally challenged individuals, and I think they did a fantastic job. They're hilarious.
They were the funniest ones in the movie, and I'm not making fun of them, just some of the lines they delivered and the way they delivered them just cracked me up. But just like in the extra features, you can see that these guys have a great sense of humor because they just kept messing with everybody on the set.
Exactly. And even if you're like Shane, you don't find it as amusing and as well done as I did. And I think because my expectations were lower, I think that's probably why I liked it more than you. But just seeing these guys just, you know, willing to make fun of themselves and to take it with a sense of humor, I think it's not only a success as far as creativity, but it's also going to open up people more to associating with the mentally challenged. You know, we have this fear, we have this, you know, bias that we don't mean to have. But if you take away their disabilities, it's just like skin color. We're all the same underneath. And I think this film makes a very valid and very honorable, I'm looking for the words to say here, and I'm just making this up as I go along, as you can tell, but just, I think it's just a wonderful example of how, you know, disabilities, you know, shouldn't get in anybody's way. And, you know, a big hats off to director Barry Blaustein and executive producer Peter Farrelly for doing this. And these guys, you know, of course, the Farrelly brothers, Peter, one of the Farrelly brothers, you know, this isn't the first time they've handled, you know, potentially cringeworthy material, you know, stuff like Kingpin and There's Something About Mary and Shallow Hal, an even better example. But even though he didn't direct this film, Another great piece of work, in my opinion.
One of the things I got to give them credit for is going to the Special Olympics committee to get permission to make this movie. Most of the time, the Farrelly brothers would do it anyway, and they went out of their way to ask permission and got, even in one of the commentaries, actually, the Edward Barbanel and John Taylor are two Special Olympians that they included in the commentary, and they were also in the movie.
That's right.
And what a great commentary. These guys sounded like they had so much fun. You've got Peter Farrelly in there, Johnny Knoxville, the director, the screenwriter. Just, they had so much fun laughing and giggling. And great commentary.
Exactly. And we got to talk about some of the performances in the film. Stabby, the janitor. Did you recognize him any at all?
Nada.
There was something about him that looked vaguely familiar. So I went to the ever-trusty IMDb, and I found out that it was veteran Cuban character actor Luis Avalos, and if he does look familiar, hey, you guys, one of the core cast members of The Electric Company, After School Appointment TV for many of my fellow children of the 70s, and it's great to see him again. He was wonderful in this part.
He was pretty funny. It wasn't as funny, like I said, it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be, but it was still good.
Did you recognize Brian Cox from Rushmore, The Ring, Braveheart?
X-Men, Match Point, Should We Continue? Brian Cox is great.
What an incredible job this guy does with an American accent. I mean, I almost didn't recognize him. I mean, he was just fantastic.
He does do a good job, that's for sure.
And you've also got the lovely Katherine Heigl. You know, when is she not adorable? Of course, we're talking about Izzy from Grey's Anatomy, a pre-Grey's Anatomy project for her, and she was great in the movie as well.
I would give it a rental grade. Rent it, you may want to pick it up. Some people are going to love it. Other people are going to hate it, and then you've got me, people like me who are right down the middle of the road that might enjoy it enough to own it and maybe give it a second chance later down the line and see if maybe they were just tired that day or something.
So all in all, you're giving it kind of a mild thumbs down or a mild thumbs up?
Agreed.
You don't have to be nervous.
I'm not.
They're gonna love you.
I hate her.
Amy.
What?
Generosity. Generosity of spirit.
Thank you.
Amy, you're gonna get me in trouble. What?
I thought no one had even met the girl.
No, I was down in New York in October.
Well, that's right, the young man. What was his name? How's that going?
Mm-hmm. Kelly. Sorry. So, you had dinner with them? So, she is a total phony. She's completely uptight. She dragged us to this friggin' stiff restaurant. She talked the entire time. I mean, oh, you just wait.
What?
She's got this incredibly grotesque throat-clearing tick. It's like, it's like she's digging for clams.
Now, moving on, we have The Family Stone. Fantastic movie released exactly at the wrong time of year. Who releases a Christmas movie in May?
Exactly. I feel the same way. I wasn't expecting a Christmas movie.
Oh, me either. Me either. But the cast in this movie, phenom. There is a long list of talented actors and actresses, and they mismatch so well in this movie. It's incredible. It just, there was points in this movie where you're laughing along with them. There's points where, you know, you're moved emotionally during the movie. It was a really great film.
It was definitely a roller coaster ride emotionally. We got to mention this cast. Diane Keaton, Sarah Jessica Parker, Craig T. Nelson, Luke Wilson,
Claire Danes, Rachel McAdams, Dermot Mulroney. That's about all the big names in the movie.
And I hope we're not leaving everybody out here, because there's not a bad performance in this film to be found.
Agreed. Even for somebody like me who can normally not stomach Sarah Jessica Parker, I found her delightful in this movie.
I agree that she's not for every taste, but this performance was just so out of character for her, because she usually plays very vibrant, very likable women, very close to her own personal, you know, close to her own self. But she's really a tight beyond compare, very prim, very proper, always extending her hand, just a very uptight WASAP type. And it just, she killed me. She was just wonderful in this part. And the way that her character evolves throughout the film is also fascinating. I thought that was very well done.
Yeah, she definitely swung around near the end, and I think Luke Wilson's character influenced her in ways that she never expected.
And man, talk about Luke Wilson. Luke Wilson has to be the most underrated actor working today. I loved his character in this film, you know, the pot-smoking, you know, son of a family, real loose, you know, nothing ever gets to him. And basically, you know, I guess we need to get into the plot details for folks that haven't seen the movie yet. It's basically about Dermot Mulroney's character bringing Sarah Jessica Parker's character home for the holidays. You know, they don't mesh very well, which is an understatement. And Luke Wilson's character was the only one that would really give her a chance and really, you know, the only one that she could identify with in some strange way, given that they were just two complete opposites.
There's another conflict, big conflict, I guess you can say, with Sarah Jessica Parker's character and Rachel McAdams.
Understatement.
Basically, Rachel McAdams hates her to the utmost degree, will do anything to sabotage this woman. And they have some pretty comedic moments.
And what about Rachel McAdams? I mean, what a great year she had. Wedding Crashers, Red Eye, this. I think we're looking at a future superstar in the making.
I think she's already there.
I think so. I thought it was kind of interesting that she took a step back after Red Eye and basically played a supporting part. I don't know chronologically whether this film came first or Red Eye, but I definitely think that she has the strength to carry a film, and it's going to be interesting to see where she goes from here. Okay, extras time, and boy, what a ton load of extras for a single disc.
Two commentaries, the first with Sarah Jessica Parker and Dermot Mulroney, and boring, that wraps it up.
Basically, a lot of giggling and a lot of reminiscing, you know. I mean, it's not the worst actor commentary that I've heard, but compared to Poseidon Adventure that we discussed earlier, definitely a come down. So what about commentary number two?
Commentary numero deux with the director, Thomas, I'm going to butcher your last name, so I'm going to warn you in advance, Bazucha, producer Michael London, editor Jeffrey Ford, and production designer Jane Ann Stewart was a much better and more informative commentary for anybody looking for some behind-the-scenes info.
I thought so, too. Other extras on the disc, basically promotional stuff. You know, you got, like, the big premiere. You got, like, a casting session thing. A background look at the film, which I thought was the best of all the extras, the little 30-minute making of. And have I missed anything? Is there anything else?
There's the gag reel, the Q&A with the cast at the Screen Actors Guild Theater, and don't forget the recipe for Meredith Strata, which is a Morton family tradition. And just an FYI, that is Jessica Sarah Parker's character's name in the movie, Meredith, and she tries to make breakfast for everybody. And without ruining the movie, let's just say it doesn't work out.
Exactly. And you did bring up the Q&A. That was very well done. I just love it when they have these little informal Q&As out in Los Angeles, Hollywood, whatever. And I don't see enough of those on DVDs. I always find these things very interesting and enjoyable. Nice give and take with usually the director or a well-known film expert, you know, handling the discussion, playing moderator. And it was a lot of fun.
It was a good feature. There's a couple of nice anecdotes that they give out in there.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when Luke was talking about when they all had to go on location in New York and there was just like this incredible blizzard and they're trying to get a taxi to go to the city and, you know, Craig's going like, Craig T. Nelson's going like, well, go up to the guy, you know, he'll recognize you and everything, you know, and they never made it out of New York. The guy didn't know who Luke Wilson was and just, you know, I just love anecdotes like that. You know, it just makes these actors just like the rest of us, you know, real people with real experiences and, you know, we, of course, you and I, you know, don't get the chance to relive our wacky lives on DVD every day. But just it lends a nice little touch of the human aspect to performers when they talk about things like this.
Yeah, pick this DVD up. It's a buyer.
Definitely. This is probably our biggest mutual agreement of the whole show here. Family Stone. Don't wait until the holidays, folks. It is definitely a keeper and a superb movie.
Yeah, Doug. We were getting worried about you. Susan's here, Senator Parker, the mayor and his wife. Everybody wants to know why the world's greatest architect isn't here.
Never mind about that. Will Giddings has been pretty badly burned.
Will Gittings burned, how?
I've already got an ambulance coming, but you better think about getting those people upstairs with you down on the ground floor.
What floor? We got a fire here!
Well, I think it's under control, but...
Well, then, why the urgency?
Urgency? Hey, Dunk, if that fire was caused by fluky wiring in this building, we could get fires breaking out everywhere!
Doug, I think you're overreacting. Now, I feel sorry for Will Gittings, but he'll be taken care of. But I am not going to concern myself with a fire in a storage room on 81 because it can't possibly affect us up here. Not in this building. Now, have someone call me when the fire department arrives. In the meantime, get in your dinner jacket and come up and join the party. Now, come on.
Yeah. Get 10 people up on the roof. Have the rest of them stand by in groups of 10. We're going to start airlifting.
Will do.
Fox has been fantastic at releasing special editions as of late. And another one that came out, it's an Irwin Allen film who coincidentally produced the Poseidon Adventure because the studio didn't want him to direct it. So it's kind of weird that they got him to direct this, but we're talking The Towering Inferno that has an even bigger cast list than The Poseidon Adventure. Some amazing talent. First time I've seen this movie, and it's definitely one of my favorite movies of all time now.
Really? You know, I find it interesting that you say that, because I feel while it is a good film and it's got a much better cast, we're talking Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, Faye Dunaway, Fred Astaire, and the list goes on and on. But I just found it to just be kind of just like a little lesser in certain aspects compared to Poseidon. Maybe it's because Poseidon was one of the first, if not the first, major action adventure flick or disaster flick or whatever you call it that I saw back in my younger days. But this was kind of like, I don't know, it was exciting. It had a good plot line, great performances. And by the way, this, in doing research for the show, I had no idea, or I had forgotten, that this film was nominated for a ton of Academy Awards back in 74 or 75, actually.
Well, look at the special effects that they had to create. They basically burnt down a, 138-story building?
It is amazing, and a lot of the details that will be found in the special featurettes and so on that we'll discuss here in a moment. But, you know, one thing that I found interesting is that Warner Brothers and Fox collaborated on this film, and it's a lengthy story on why they had to. That's detailed in the commentary and some of the featurettes, but it's more common nowadays. But back then, this was kind of a very unusual thing. It was a precedent-making event that was unheard of. And I'm really surprised that Fox got the go-ahead to release the DVD. I'm surprised it wasn't a collaboration between them and WB.
Well, who knows how much money Fox had to give WB to get the sole rights to the movie, but I'm glad they did, because they treat their classic collection pretty well. Maybe not quite to the same standards that WB has in the recent couple of years, but Fox gives them a definitely good treatment.
And, you know, while we're on the subject of disaster films, another film from my youth came out this week, Earthquake. And, you know, I don't really want to put studios down, but Universal needs to be ashamed of themselves. You know, they've got one of the biggest box office hits, you know, in that studio's existence, and they did nothing except basically create a brand new 5.1 audio track or whatever. You know, no semblance of nothing on the history of the film, nothing on the actors, no features or anything like that. Fox definitely has set a precedent. That's become a favorite word of mine, Kenny Dell. President. I hope I'm not mispronouncing it, but if I am, I know you'll cut it. They've definitely set the standard for not only the Poseidon Adventure Special Edition, but this edition for The Towering Inferno as well. Film-wise, I don't think it's as effective as Poseidon. There hasn't been as big a cult following for this movie, but I think the reemergence on DVD, particularly for folks of your generation, just discovering talent like Newman and Steve McQueen, Astaire, and so on, and also due to the fact that it's being co-promoted with Poseidon in the DVD market, will help it. But, you know, all in all, it's not a bad film.
They jam-packed this disc with extras as well. Just like the Poseidon Adventure, you can pretty much find the exact same layout. There's actually, I'd probably say, a little bit more on this DVD than the Poseidon Adventure.
I'll tell you one thing. It had a ton of extended scenes and deleted scenes, which Poseidon did not have at all. Probably because they were on a very small budget and couldn't afford to shoot a lot. But exactly, yeah. It's
over
amazing.
30.
And did you feel some of it worked as far as some of it? About the film was long enough at 2 hours and 44 minutes, but did you see anything that they could have left in?
Nah, I think it was cut the way it should have been cut.
Agreed. Now, let's talk about some more of the extras here. We got a great commentary track and from historian, and really, like, this is his real name. It's FX Sweeney. Help me out here because I forgot to jot his name down. We're so prepared here, folks. I mean, this guy was like a walking encyclopedia.
FX Feeney.
Thank you for the diction lesson. I feel that this guy's like a walking encyclopedia of this film. He just did not stop for, you know, the entire duration of the film. And it's one of the best historically based commentary tracks that I've heard in a while. This guy came prepared to play.
He sure did. He gave a lot more information than I expected. I did enjoy the scene-specific commentaries a little bit, too. I know the Mike Vesna, who does the special effects on X3, almost seemed a little bored in his recordings. I don't know if you felt the same way, but the stunt coordinator from The Day After Tomorrow, who also did some scene-specific commentary, seemed, you know, a little more upbeat about what he was talking about.
It's probably because they worked these guys to death and they were still recovering from their previous projects, but it wasn't bad. I mean, sometimes you get people that are just like over the moon, like you and I, when we're discussing stuff, especially me. But sometimes you get these, compared to Gail Inhurd and Charlize Theron, these guys were on speed.
Yeah, it was definitely a step up from that commentary.
We're so sorry, Gail Ann and Charlize, but just, you know, you guys, you need to take some no-dos or something before you get in front of the mics again, okay? All right, enough said.
And Jeffrey, final recommendation on this movie. Is it a keeper, or is it a renter, or should people just leave it in the store?
Well, like I said earlier, it's not as memorable as Poseidon, which I think everybody out there can tell is very close to my heart. But if you're going to pick up that DVD special edition, why not pick up this one as well? A-list cast, very fascinating making ofs, great commentary. It's definitely a keeper. Pick it up.
Like I said, it turns out to be one of my favorite movies of all time, and this is coming from somebody who'd never seen it. In fact, I think when this movie came out, I wasn't even a seedling yet. So if that gives you an idea of how old I am... I definitely am going to recommend you pick this up, add it to your collection. You will not be disappointed. Well, Jeffrey, that wraps up another edition of the DVD Marquee.
You know, we do post-production on this show, and it's probably going to turn out to be another marathon, but I've had a blast, and thank you all out there for being so patient in waiting for a new episode. And we're definitely going to be back a lot sooner next time, we promise. And while I have the opportunity here, I want to give a plug to Let's Plug Podcast Alley on our main site. Please vote for us. Help us reach new listeners out there by voting for us. It's very easy to do, like we said earlier. Don't forget about the Crapper map, which you can access on the web via a link on our site. And also, for those of you that haven't yet downloaded or listened or whatever, I have a mini marquee on That Girl. We're also doing a contest for That Girl coming up. We have a couple of contests in the hopper that we'll talk about next time because we just had so much fun here doing the six movies that we've reviewed so far. And Shane, I'm going to throw it back to you before I keep talking here. Go ahead.
Now, before we close out the night, I got to give a shout out to my good buddies Brad and Laramie over at the Rope of Silicon and the Oh Rude Review. Check out their podcast. It's one of my faves. And that pretty much does it. So thanks again to the Home Theater Forum. Thanks again to my own site, I Crave DVD, for producing the show. And we'll catch you all on the flip side. We're out.
And we're clear.
All right.
Excellent.